Tonight is February 8th, Lael, 25th day of the month of Shvat. This is the Gemara Shir, Masechta Sukkah, bottom of the Lamed Hei Omid Aleph, top of Lamed Hei Omid Beis.
Okay, Rabotai, the last thing we did last week was the Tosfos on the bottom of the page, and we're going to see how Tosfos answers one of his questions and makes statements which are debated by virtually all Rishonim. The Gemara had said that Rabbi Meir's opinion that in Esrog, that Masa Sheni, which belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to him, it's Mullen Bailin, would automatically be disqualified for three halachot. One, you cannot use an esrog of Masa Sheni. Two, you cannot use Masa Sheni and of matzah. Matzah baked out of Masa Sheni grain would not be, you'd not fulfill the mitzvah. And third, a dough made out of Masa Sheni grain is exempt from the mitzvah of challah. In each of the cases, there is a requirement that you own it. The Gemara raised the question, I know that lulav and esrog you have to own. The Torah says, ulekachtam lachem. But by matzah, where in the world does the Torah say that you're supposed to own a piece of matzah? So the Gemara said, you're right, it doesn't say it by matzah. But matzah is identified as lechem. And so is the mitzvah of challah. It's called lechem. So we darshan. Just as by the mitzvah of challah, the Torah writes, Ariso Sechem, Reishis Ariso Sechem, Titnu Truma Lashem, the first of your doughs must be given to the Kohen. Matzah Sheni is not yours, so too, matzah must be yours as well. That's what the Gemara said. So Tosfos asked the question, if that's the case, what about Matzah Shel Tevel? Can you be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah shel tevel with matzah shel tevel or not? So now take a look at the last line of Tosfos, the last line of Tosfos on this page in Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, and we'll see what Tosfos says. B'yesh loyim v'loy dami. Tahar de'ein yochel lotzeis be'esruch shel tevel, de'heve kimo esrog de'shutfin, she'yesh la'kohein ulalevi bo chelek vidami, and it is compared le'achin shikanu esrog b'tfisas habayis. Says Tosfos. You can't compare matzah shel tevel to an esrog shel tevel. Can't. That was Tosfos' question. Why is it that you need a special drash that matzah shel tevel is no good? Why can't you learn out that matzah shel tevel is no good, just as esrog shel tevel is no good? And we have this comparison in our Gemara that the requirement is lachem. So Tosfos answers as follows: you know why you cannot be yotzei the esrog with an esrog shel tevel? Because the esrog of tevel, again, tevel is grain from which you were not mafresh trumas and maizras. It is owned by two people. Who is tevel owned by? The kohen and you, the owner. So joint ownership for the mitzvah of esrog is no good. Joint ownership is not good for the mitzvah of esrog. You have to have exclusive ownership. So when I pick up an esrog of tevel, so what does it mean? I have a whole orchard of esrogim, and I took one of them off, and I have not yet been mafresh trumas and maizras. Tosfos claims that the reason why you cannot be yotzei the mitzvah is based on the fact that this esrog now belongs to more than one person. It belongs to me, because I own the orchard, but there is a part that will ultimately be given to a kohen. So there are partners in this tevel. Partners in this tevel. and this is now be compared to an esrog which was part of an estate. So here is what happened. A father owned an esrog. Father passed away on Erev Sukkos, and now the estate has yet to be divided up. So let's assume you have two brothers. Okay? So they both inherit the estate. Neither of them, claims Tosfos, can go ahead and what? And fulfill the mitzvah of esrog with that esrog, because neither of the two brothers has exclusive ownership. However, so therefore Tosfos says, in esrog shel tevel, the deficiency of an esrog shel tevel is that both people own it. Both people own it. And at the time when you hold it, you have to have exclusive ownership. However, claims Tosfos, by matzah shel tevel, despite the fact that two people own it, there is a way for you to be mekayim the mitzvah. How? Es nacha kezayis. Eat another kezayis. Tosfos believes the following. How much do you have to eat in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah? A kezayis. This matzah of shtevel is owned by two people. It's owned by me, and it's owned by the kohen. The problem with me being the kind of mitzvah with matzah shel tevel, claims Tosfos, with anything shel tevel, is that there are multiple owners. So when you're dealing with what? With an esrog, you can't divide the esrog in half. That's impossible. So at all times, I own half the esrog, and my brother owns half the esrog. Therein lies the deficiency. When it comes to matzah, okay, let's take the first piece of matzah. I own half the matzah, my brother owns half the matzah. Or the kohen owns half the matzah. Right? What's the problem? Okay, I acknowledge. So from this piece of matzah I will eat, and how much will I have eaten that belonged to me? 50%. So what will I do? I'll eat another kezayis, and then I will have eaten 100% of a kezayis that belonged to me. Therefore, claims Tosfos, if not for the special derivation in Masechet Pesach, which teaches us you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah from tevel, based on the fact that the mitzvah of matzah is written right next to the pasuk of chametz. Therefore, we derive a drash. The only time you can be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah is if the only thing you have to be worried about is the issur of chametz. But if you have to worry about something else, such as tevel, you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah. If not for that drash, we would be able to be mekayim the mitzvah with matzah shel tevel, because the deficiency can be overcome. Whereas by lulav, by esrog, it could never be overcome. Why can it never be overcome? Because an esrog shel tevel, claims Tosfos, belongs to two people. Thank you, Rabbi Yisrael, for coming. You are a kohen. So if I have an esrog shel tevel, claims Tosfos, it belongs partly to me and partly to you. Because you have your chelek in it. Because part of the grain is truma, and it will be taken out and brought in. So when you're dealing with one single esrog, there is always a component of that esrog that belongs to Rabbi Yisrael Gadis Mindukai. Therefore, neither of us can be yotzei the mitzvah with an esrog shel tevel. He can't because I own part of it. I can't because the kohen owns part of it. And for esrog, you must have absolute individual ownership. However, by matzah claims Tosfos, the deficiency can be overcome just by eating another kezayis. Because with the first kezayis of tevel, I own half, Yisrael owns half. Okay, I will have eaten the first kezayis. How much of my matzah will I have eaten? 50%.
at least 50%, at least. So if I eat other kezayis, I now have eaten 100% of a kezayis that belongs to me. That's what Tosfos says. But by esrog, it's compared to an esrog of an estate. An esrog of an estate. What happens in an estate? Both brothers inherit. So when you're dealing with one esrog, claims Tosfos, neither brother can be mekayem the mitzvah. But let's assume the father had matzahs. Father bought matzahs before Pesach. And now the father died, Erev Yontif. And the estate has not been divided up. Tosfos will say the same thing. You can be yotzei the mitzvah with matzah shel tfusat habayis of the common estate. Why? Because in the first piece of matzah, I own 50%, and my brother owns 50%. Well, I'll eat another shtickle kezayis. And what will happen? I'll eat the whole kezayis. So Tosfos is the origin of that famous joke. Right? That Shabbos is Begematria Kogel. Everybody says it's not Begematria Kogel. So what's the answer? That's not a shtickle. That's all. Here's another piece. It'll be Begematria Kogel. So that's what Tosfos is saying. That's what Tosfos is saying. That's what Tosfos says. The premises upon which Tosfos is built are challenged by virtually all Rishonim. What conclusion should you reach if you perceive Tevel as being owned by two people, me, the owner, and the Kohen? What conclusion should you be able to reach that a Kohen is allowed to eat Tevel? Why is the Kohen allowed to eat Tevel and I'm not allowed to eat Tevel? Why? Because I'm a Yisroel. So if I eat Tevel, I'm eating something that is ultimately partly Truma. The penalty for me, a Yisroel, eating Truma is Misa B'dei Shammai. But the Yisroel, the Kohen, he's allowed to eat Truma and he's allowed to eat Tevel, Lechulin, regular food. So there should be no issur according to Tosfos of a Kohen eating Tevel. The overwhelming majority of Rishonim disagree with Tosfos because they believe that Tosfos didn't understand what Tevel is. Tevel is not prohibited because it's a mixture of Chulin and Truma together. Why is Tevel prohibited? It's a new issur. No one is allowed to eat Tevel. Not me, not Rebbe Yisroel, not the Kohen. So Tevel is not a combination of Chulin and Truma. So that I could use Tosfos' argument that, you know what, I'll eat more than the Kezayis. And if I eat more than the Kezayis, eventually I'll be eating my half. No! Tevel is not edible by anybody. By anybody. And as a result, that particular answer suggested by Tosfos is rejected by virtually all Rishonim. Because they do not look at Tevel as simply being a combination of my share, the owner, the farmer, and the Kohen, who will ultimately be getting the Truma. That's number one. Number one. Number one. The Ramban disagrees with Tosfos in both of his cases. The Ramban says, you can be yotzei with the mitzvah and esrog, you can be yotzei with yes. You can be yotzei with an esrog shel tevel, and you can be yotzei with an esrog of tfusas habayis, of an estate that is inherited. Tosfos said you can't be yotzei with either. And the Ramban says you can be yotzei with both. Why can you be yotzei with both? Because as we explained last week, the requirement of ownership means that Bailus should be possible. Bailus should be possible. Is Tevel possibly to be owned? Of course. I, the farmer, own every piece of grain, every fruit, and every esrog that I grow. So it is possible to be eaten. And the same thing is true with an esrog that comes down into a state. It could be mine. Why could it be mine? Why is mine? It's both of us, my brothers and mine. So its ownership is possible. Once ownership is possible, under those circumstances, it meets the criteria of lucha. As we pointed out last week, the halacha of reishis, arizo sechem, teaches us that all you need is what? Very simply, the possibility of ownership. And the Ran says, in one case, I'm going to agree with Tosfos, and in one case, I'm going to agree with the Rambam. In the case of, says the Ran, in the case of Tfusas Abayis, it'll work. Why? Because how am I going to get exclusive ownership? How will I become the sole owner of this esrog which is in the estate? I can make a trade. I can tell my brother, you know what? I'm going to eventually, when we divide this up, I am going to take the what? The esrog. You are going to be taking the mess tickets. That's okay. It'll be a trade. Says the Ran, you know why it works? Because there is what's called a das makne for one brother to the other. We both own the esrog. We both own the met tickets because it came to us as an estate. But there is a possibility of each one foregoing his chelek of that particular item. So when it comes to Tfusat Habayis, the case which Tosfos quotes, says the Ran, in that case I agree with the Rambam. You can be Yotzei with it. Because it is theoretically possible not only to have ownership, it's theoretically possible to have individual ownership, exclusive ownership. How can you have exclusive ownership? Just make a swap with one another. But by Tevel, says the Ran, here I agree with Tyson. Why? Because let's assume Tyson is right. Chulin and Truma are mixed into this Tevel. There's no Kayin out there who has absolute right. There's no single Kayin in this world who owns my Truma. There is no single Kayin who owns my Truma. Yisrael to Kayin, and he took the other Kahanim, to whom my Truma could be given. Therefore, claims the Ran, in a combination of Truma in Tevel, the problem is that it's always going to be mixed joint ownership. And there is nobody to make a trade-off my Chelek to this Chelek. And therefore, in the case of the first case of Tosfos, of Tevel, says the Ran, I agree with Tosfos. In the second case of Tosfos, of Tfusas Habayis, says the Ran, I agree with the Ramban under those circumstances.
In the case of regular Shittas, two people own an Esrog.
Yes.
There is no presumption that the other person will be mochel his part for
Okay, because Mechila itself is not necessarily sufficient. You have to actually have the capacity to what? To act. So you're asking, well, in a regular shiftless case, the Ramban should say it'll work as well, because each partner could say...
Potentially could own it.
No. You can't own that very same esrog.
No, if the other person, if we presume the other person is going to be willing to...
But based on what? What's he getting in return?
When you're dealing with brothers who are accepting, who are heading in a state, there's a trade-off. There's a trade-off, the esrog for the mech tickets. Here, if we only own one esrog, and that's it, we bind. The problem is that you always own it, and I always own it. And as a result, it's always shared. And by esrog, you require exclusive ownership. Exclusive ownership. Just give me one more second. That's one problem with Tysus. A second problem with Tysus is the way he looks at something as partnership. Tysus looks at partnership that what? How do you look at partnership? I have this part, you have that part. So in theory, when I eat the matzah of the estate, I'm eating 50% mine and 50% yours. So how does Tysus resolve it? Just eat another piece of matzah, you'll eat another 50% of yours.
Everything.
Exactly. Many Rishonim claim that's not the concept of shutas. When we own something for shutas, let's assume we own this box of tissues for shutas. The way Tysus looks at it, you have this hair, I have that hair. So just make believe this is a piece of matzah. You have that half, I have this half. So when I eat this whole piece of matzah, I ate half of mine. Conceptually, shutva's partnership may not be that you have this half and I have this half. How do we view partnership? Every little square inch is owned by both of us. Every square inch is owned by both of us. Therefore, until we divide, exactly. Same thing with an estate. Therefore, it is never, ever possible to create exclusive, to say, I'm eating mine. No. Every morsel that I eat, every morsel of the etrog belongs to both of us under all circumstances. Until you terminate the shutras, until you divide the estate. So Tysus is predicated on several premises that are debatable. A, Tysus believes that Tevel in and of itself is not something that is Osur independently. Tevel is a problem because it is a mixture of Truma and Chulin. That, number one, can be debated. Number two, Tysus views partnership as if you simply look at it, this part belongs to you, this part belongs to me. That also might be false. Every ounce of this box of tissues, which is now a piece of matzah or an esrog or whatever it was, is owned by both of us. And therefore, it is never, ever possible in the state of partnership of shutfus to create a conceptual model where I own anything independently. And by eating 12 kizayim of matzah, it will still not be enough. Because every kizayim of matzah that I am eating belongs to both of us. That's why people disagree with Tysus. That's why people disagree with Tysus. Okay, let me invite you to Gemara. Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Third line from the top. This whole statement about claiming that Rabbi Meir will not allow you to use matzah sheni for etrog, for matzah, and to be chayv and challah was authored by Ravasi. Ravasi says the Gemara, Lema misayale, let us bring a proof. What proof? It says, Isa shal matzah sheni p'turim min achala, divrei Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir says chayevas b'chala. Excuse me, Chachamim say an isur shel matzah sheni, dough made out of matzah sheni grain, according to Rabbi Meir, as we've said along, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore potter of chala. And Chachamim say it's chay. Says the Gemara, lema misayale. What does the word lema mean? Maybe. Let us possibly suggest. What do you mean, let us possibly suggest? The price is exactly what Rabbi Meir said. What do you mean, maybe, lay more Messiah, let us possibly suggest. What do you mean, possibly suggest? It's exact same thing, exactly what Rabbi Meir said. There is no way of what? Of claiming that it doesn't support Rabbi Meir's opinion. Because it's exactly what Rabbi Meir says. No, it's butts and wings. It's exactly what he says. That's the Gemara's question. Lema Messiah lay? He! It's exactly Rabbi Meir's opinion. Lema normally means, you know what, I'm going to bring something out of left field. Let's say maybe that this is going to support it. This ain't out of left field. Straight in the pitcher's mouth. See, you can't miss it. Straight in the face. Straight. It's not an onside kick at the end of the first, the beginning of the second half. A trick play. This is straight. This is straight. Answers to Gemara. Ella, I'll tell you what it meant. Midi b'ha pligi, b'ha nami pligi. Since this Brisa claims that they are arguing in relationship to Isa, must we necessarily assume that they also argue by Esrog and Matzah? Oy Dilma, or perhaps no. Shani Isa de Amakra, Ariso Seichem, Ariso Seichem, Trezimne. The word Reishis Ariso Seichem appears twice in Parsha Shlach. Therefore, I could have said the following. When does Rabbi Meir say that Masa Sheni is no good? When does Rabbi Meir say that Masa Sheni is no good? When does he say it's no good? When? Only by Isa. Because twice the Torah emphasized, it's got to be yours, it's got to be yours. How do I know it emphasized twice? Because the word Reishis Ariso Seichem appears twice in the text. But by Matzah, it doesn't say it at all. By Esrog, it only says it Lachem once. So maybe the litmus, the standard that is required by other things is not as stringent, is not as severe as it is by Chal. Therefore, the Gemara said, Lame on the Sinai, what did it mean? It seems to corroborate. What does it seem to corroborate? That just as what the halacha is that you require the ownership of a dough in order to be chayav of challah, and according to Rabbi Meir's pater, perhaps this brisa also supports Rabbi Meir's conclusion that you can't be yotzei matzah with matzah sheni, and you can't be yotzei esrog with matzah sheni. But it's not absolutely compelling. Because maybe the dough case, the isa, has a benefit that none of the others have. What benefit does it possess? The fact that the word Ariso Seichem Trezimne appears twice. Therefore, the Gemara's expression, Lema Messiah, could it be possibly that it does support it, is indeed appropriate, because it's absolutely not guaranteed. Absolutely not guaranteed.
Do you regard Manso with Isa because of the Lechem
Lechem? Well, that's correct. That was suggested by Ravasi before. So now the Gemara is saying, here is a Brisa. Why is it only Lema? Because there is a possibility that the Brisa supports it, or maybe the Brisa does not support Ravasi. And it's a halacha only where? Only by Chala.
Right. I was looking for Esrog on one side and the other two on the other side.
You could have said that, because at least by Esrog it says the word Lechem. By Matzah it doesn't say it any place, other than Lechem Lechem.
Right.
That's correct. Right. But the Gemara now is considering both as the same. Lechem Lechem would be enough to create it once. Lechem is once, but Ariso Sechem is written twice. Let me again write the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, it's about eight lines from the top, Shel Truma Tamei Apostle, Psula. If I have an esrog of Truma Tameya, so what happens? I'm the esrog farmer. I harvested all my esrogim. I set one of them aside to give to Yisrael the Kayin. Before I had a chance to give it to him, it became Tame. A sheretz, a dead animal touched it. So it became Tame. So Truma Tameya is not permitted to be eaten. I have to give it to the Kayin, and he has to burn it, and derive benefit from the burning. Lahasikha tachas kapshilcha. You put it underneath and use it as fuel for your chicken soup. Says the Gemara, why can't you use an esrog shatruma tameya for sukkahs? The less ba heter achila. Because it's lacking the capacity to be eaten. Very nice. There is no discussion about this in Rishayim, because it's perfectly clear. You have, everybody agrees that you must have a heter achila, and this doesn't have heter achila. However, there is a tshuva of the Rashba. Tshuva's HaRashba writes, there is a possibility that this Truma Tameya could become Mutava Achila. There is a possibility how Truma Tameya could become Mutava Achila. How? The Gemara says in the Darim, it's Esau B'She'ela. You can be Matu Neder and remove the designation of Truma. So let me explain the halacha. Anytime you make a neder, Rabotai, you know that there is the capacity to remove the Easter neder. So let's talk about something practical, okay? That Moshe is coffee over here. Tea. I can say, Kois tea zel shalosha of Sorola. Kind of. Prohibited unto me. Good. I'm not allowed to drink this. So now let's make believe this is an Esra. Moshe buys a beautiful Esra. And I say, or he says, I don't want you to have any benefit from my Esra. Good. I'm not allowed to eat it. However, there is a way that I could eat this. How? This will be Matineta. So go over to a bed and say, had I known that Rabbi Agna didn't buy an Esrog this year, he didn't have any money to buy an Esrog. And the only way that he could have been Yosei the Mitzvah was using my Esrog, what would I have done? I would not have made that neder that year. So the rabbis, the Bezdin, will say, like we say in the Gartosh, no, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Okay, the Easter neder is gone. So too says the Gemara Nidarim, identifying Truma as Truma operates midin neder. When I am makrish Truma, it's as if I made a neder to identify this as Truma and to give it to a kohen. Therefore, says the Gemara, it's Esau b'she'ela. You can remove the designation of Truma, you can remove the designation of Truma. Why would I want to remove the designation of Truma? Because I want to give him something else. It was too nice, too little, not nice enough, whatever it is. Therefore, ask for the Rashba the following question. I have an esrog of Truma. It became Tumeah. So the Gemara says, the less ba heter achila. No if, buts, and what. It is impossible to eat it. Ask the Rashba, what do you mean it's impossible? It's still possible to eat it. How? I can renege on the Truma. I can claim that this item, which was Truma, and then became tomato, is no longer Truma. So I will have to give Truma from someplace else, which I will. But this esrog is not going to be the one. Says the Rashba, apparently, since our Gemara does not make such a distinction, it must be
that it is remains asur, whether or not, what did I do? I removed the Isa Truma or not. Under all circumstances, this esrog of Truma Tameya does not have a heter achila. This esrog of Truma Tameya does not have a heter achila. Why does it not have a heter achila? Because right now it's Truma. Despite the fact that in theory I could have done so. I could have removed it. If it was possible to use that root, says the Rashba, Hayak Lo Lefarsha. The Gemara should have made a statement indicating that if I indeed removed the Isur of Truma by declaring retroactively that this is no longer Truma, and therefore it's no longer Truma Tameya, and therefore it's theoretically permissible to be eaten, since the Gemara does not say that, it remains asur under all circumstances, and you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah of arba minim with it. So says the Rashba in Chelek Aleph, Tshuva, Tav Shin Mem Zayin. Tav Shin Mem Zayin. And he says the same thing about an esrog, which Moshe owns, and he prohibits me from eating it. Even though, in theory, I could eat this esrog, based on the fact that he would remove the neder, be makir neder, says the Rashba, since the Gemara never makes such a distinction, it is asur for me, and I may never use this esrog belonging to Moshe, which he prohibited me from deriving any benefit from. And that was picked up by the Ramah in Siman Tov. Reish Mem Tet Seif Bet, the Rashba says that it's mud. He quotes the Rashba, the Ramah quotes the Rashba. And many Rishonim claim that his analogy is incorrect. His analogy is incorrect. Tell me the difference, Rabotai. What happens if I have the esrog of Truma and I recalled the Truma, I decided to cancel the Truma, versus if there was an Isur Neder based on the fact that Moshe said I'm not allowed to use his esrog. What difference would it be if he removes his Isur, he went to it was Matan Neder, versus if I went ahead and removed the Truma designation, what difference in the next result will there be? Why Rishoni will now disagree with the Rashba? Because in the case of Truma, so tell me what happens after you remove the designation. It still becomes awesome. It's that about that. What happened?
I had a bunch of esrogim. They were all tevel.
I removed the Isur tevel by designating one esrog as truma. That esrog became tamei. That esrog became tamei. Okay. So now I'm going to go to my local rabbi, my bezdin, and say, you know what? For some reason, I want to remove the designation.
Okay, so when you remove the designation, okay, what happens then?
The esrog now becomes tevel, because I have not yet been mekayim the mitzvah of Truma Samaisa. And you can't be mekayim the mitzvah with an esrog shel tevel either. Therefore, say some rishonim, Mr. Rashba, in that case, you're 100% right, we agree. But in the case of a personal vow, why can't I use Moshe's esrog? Because he created an isur upon me. He said, I am making a neder that you are not permitted to derive benefit from this. Or I made a neder. I say, I can't stand you. You're a mess man. I don't want to have any halacha from your esrog whatsoever. The minute you remove the neder, what happens then? There's no Isurim whatsoever. and it's perfectly permissible. Therefore, some Rishonim say, in the case of the Rashba's primary case, where you made it to Truma and it became Truma to Meya, will agree with you that there is no way possible to remove the Isur and you can never be outside the mitzvah of Arba Mina. But in the case of a personal nether, which can be removed through the process of Hataras Nedarim, once you are Matir Nether, the Isur removed from this Esrog, and it's perfectly permissible Esrog. Whereas by Truma, once I remove the Isur Truma, it doesn't make it Mutter yet. In fact, it reverts back to its previous Isur of an Isur Tevel. And the halach is, it can't be Yotz in the Mitzvah, that's who shall Tevel. That's why some Rishonim disagree with the Rashba. Yes.
The idea that the
Truma
is based on some type of Nether, is that
the Rashba? No, that's the Gemara Nedarim. That's black and white Lechol HaDeitz. Yeah.
Isn't the assumption that he took enough truma that one less esrog is full enough to be marked that he took enough?
No, let's assume this is the only one he designated. This is the one he designated.
Okay, but,
in theory, he could designate something else, but he didn't. So the moment he releases the truma, this whole batch now becomes, that's the case. You're right, if he gave 20 and he only had to give 5, then it would not. Because the Isur Tevel would not be there. But the case is, there was exactly, I'm an average guy. Okay? I'm not a stingy guy. I'm not a very gentle. I'm an average dude. So if you have an average dude, what happens? You're supposed to give 2 out of 100. 1 out of 50. So I gave 2. Exactly. That's it. Nothing more than that. Nothing more. Nothing less. Well, we're going right to Gemara. The Mishnah said, this is one of the most difficult Gemaras around. It's simple to translate, but conceptually, it just makes no sense whatsoever. Says the Gemara, Shel Truma Tahora Lo Yitol. If I have an Esrog of Truma Tahora, so what did I do? I am the farmer. I harvested all my esrogim. They're all tevel. I separated one esrog of truma. And it's not tameh. No sheretz touched it. It's perfectly kosher truma. So it can be eaten by a kohen. So premise number one, which the Mishnah operates with, as long as it's mutter achila for some Jew, it's permissible for me as well. I can't eat this esrog. There's no chiddush that the kohen can use it as an esrog. Of course he can. The chiddush is I can use it as an esrog. Why? Because he's allowed to eat it. But the Mishnah says, l'chatchila, I should not be mekayim the mitzvah with an esrog shel truma tahora. That's what the Mishnah says. And that's what we're reading in the Gemara. Shel truma tahora lo yitol. And the Mishnah said, "V'im natal yotza." If you are mekayim the mitzvah, you are yotza. Why lichatchila should I not go ahead and you? Yes.
In the case of that house,
correct. That's the case. That's exactly the case. Pligi ba Rabbi Ami v'Rab Asi. There is a machlokes between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi as to why I'm not permitted lichatchila to use truma tahora. Chad amar b'pnei shemachshira, the chad amar b'pnei shemafsida. I'm going to explain the second one first because there's no conceptual problems with it. Why should I not use it? Because you are going to ruin it. When you take truma, you're not supposed to scratch a fruit which has become truma. You're supposed to squash it and ruin it. The texture should remain perfect. When you take an esrog, what do? With an esrog? You hold it, you squeeze it. So you're going to ruin it. So one of the reasons why you should not use an esrog of truma is because of Nation Maksida. You're going to ruin The eczema. What part of the eczema do you ruin by touching it? The outer skin. And you hold it, you squash it, who knows what happens to it. It just doesn't look as nice when 50 people are touching it. The first explanation is a lot more difficult. It says, "Mitnei shemachshira." You make it possible for it to become tameh. You make it possible for it to become tameh. Why do you make it possible for it to become tameh? So here you have to just review the laws of what is called hechsher zra'i. The Torah tells us in Parsha Shemini that when I grow anything from the ground, grain or fruit, even if a dead person touches these fruits, they will not become tamei until they are first exposed to water or six other liquids. But let's talk about water, which is a normal thing. Until you will be exposing them to water, that's called hechsher zra'i. Hechsher, the preparation of things that grow to become tamei. Now, how is fulfilling the mitzvah of etzrov going to enable this etzrov to become what? Mukshar l'kabel tamei. How is that possible? So Rashi tells us, please open up to Daf Mem Beis Omid Aleph for a minute. Open up to Daf Mem Beis Omid Aleph. And we'll see what Rashi says. And I'll tell you, it's very difficult, and nobody has a really good answer. I must tell you that. Says the Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Mikabeles Isha Miyad Bina Umiyad Ba'ala Umakziroso Lemayim B'Shabbos. It's talking about keeping your etzrog and lulav fresh. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. It's one of the great challenges. Keep the lulav and particularly the hadassim and arevos fresh. The Mishnah has a recommendation. What do? You put it into a vase that's got water in it. You put it into a vase that has water in it. So you take your lulav and put it into the vase with water. And Rabbi Huda adds, Rabbi Huda Omer, B'Shabbos Machzirin. On Shabbos, you don't change the water, you don't add water. You just put it into the original vase, which had water. B'Yom Tov Mosifin. On Yom Tov, you're even allowed to what? Add some water to the vase. You can change the water. Very nice. This is not our discussion. Why this is the preferred route? Why you can change the water on the cholamoid? Why you can add water on yet? Why you can? That's not our discussion right now. But nobody on this planet ever said that you should put the esrog into the box. Because the way to keep a fruit fresh is not to have it soak in water all day. Okay? Try putting a plum or a peach in water and see if it's going to be any better to eat. It's going to turn mushy. That's what's going to happen to it. That's not what you do. So the only discussion in that Mishnah is to keep the lulav, the hadassim, and the aromas. Now comes the concern. I take them out of the vase and they're dripping wet. Now I take my esrog, which is Truma Tahira, and water is going to drip from the esrog and lulav, from the lulav, hadas, and aravos, will drip on the esrog. Once it drips on the esrog, the esrog has now received water, and as a result, should anything tamei now touch it, it's going to become tamei. Therefore, lechatchila, says the Gemara, I should not use Truma Tahira. Because when I'm going to be the kind of mitzvah of Arba Minim, the water from the lulav, hadassim, are going to drip onto the esrog. That's what Rashi says. tell me why, Rabotai, you have to know a simple halacha. What's the halacha? It has to be, of course. Of course, Liratzon. Right. The pasuk is written in the following fashion. Ki yutan mayim al zera. Ki yutan. It's written yud tof nun. Not yud vav tof nun. It's written in the Torah text yud tof nun. But the vowel sounds, based on our tradition, is not yitain, but yutan. Mean, what does the word yutan mean, grammarians? If water was given or just came across, it doesn't necessarily mean you wanted it there. But if you read ki yitain mayim al zera, ki yitain, that means you will put it there. Nobody puts it there unless you want it to be there. So the Gemara darshins, ki yutan dumyura ki yitain. In order to be makshir something, the kabotoma, if it happened to have touched it, it has to express the similar qualities if you put it there. In other words, it has to be liratzon. Liratzon. So question number one. Fruits, we know you don't wash a fruit off to keep it fresh. That's not what you do. When you want to eat it, you might wash it. But not ordinarily. So even though you deliberately put what? The water on the hadassim, the arabos, and the lulav, now you're going to drip on the what and the esrogs. The water dripping on the esrog was not done liratzon. And if it's not done liratzon, you can have a gallon of water on it, and it's not makshir lekabotom. It's not makshir lekabotom. In fact, there is a machlokes between the Rambam and all the Rishonim, how much liratzon do you need? According to some Rishonim, all you need is liratzon, either bitchilato or bisofo. Meaning as follows. Let's assume I had a fruit that I wanted to have. I didn't want to have it exposed to water. And somebody dumped water on it. Now that it's on it, you say, oh, not bad. Okay, I'm pleased with it. So it was Michale at the end. Says most Rishonim, that's good. It's Mashish. The Rambam says you need Liratzon, Bitchilato, Ubisofo. You've got to be happy completely with the result. Under what circumstances would a person be pleased that water dripped from the lulav on the hadassimos onto the esrog? Dripping water on the esrog does absolutely nothing for the esrog. In fact, it makes it worse. That's question number one. Question number two. The way Rashi describes it is based on the fact that Rashi is quoting a Kabbalah. That when you take your lulav, where do you hold the esrog? It's got to touch each other. That's why there's a concern that water from the lulav or harassim will drop on things. We don't pass it like a Kabbalah. If you want to hold your lulav and esrog like this, or as I told you day number one when we started the third practice Sukkot, in the Taz, citing the Rikanti, the Rekubalit, you have to hold them separate. You can't put them together. Under those circumstances, there is never, ever a possibility that water from the lulav and the heart and us are going to drop it in. The esrog's a mile away. So, even if you put them together, there is never a situation where anybody can possibly explain that the water coming on the esrog will be lirasam. So why should this suddenly be a concern? Lechatchila, I should not use an esrog shofumat arva because I will be makshir with the kabotoma. Why will I be makshir with the kabotoma? After all, the water did not get on the esrog liratzoni. I wasn't pleased with it. It just happened to fall on it. but it doesn't do me any good. In fact, it's to the detriment of the Esra. So why would it now become Mokshel Lekavachom? I have not found a good answer in Rishon. I have not found a good answer in Rishon. I can only tell you the logic of Mokshel Lekavachom was formulated beautifully by Ibn Ezra. Beautiful. In the Chumash. Ibn Ezra says as follows. It's like our mothers. You take out a fruit from the refrigerator, and what does this tell you? Wash it off. Wash it off. Says Ibn Ezra, this is practice, not just modern days. In every single generation, that's what they do. In other words, says the Ibn Ezra, a fruit has not really reached, listen to this, Gemar Peri, until it's been washed off. A fruit is not ready, edible, is not yet edible to be eaten until it's washed. Because the practice of people is that before you consume a fruit to be eaten, you wash it off. Therefore, the Torah recognizes what is the name of this tumah. It's called tumas what? Oichlin. Tumas oichlin. Tumas oichlin. The tumah associated with something that is a food. Says Ibn Ezra, with fruit and vegetables, it's not called a fruit yet until you wash it off. Therefore, the Torah writes, Ki yutan mayim al zera, up until then, it's not an oichlin. And therefore, if it's not yet complete, just as the halacha is, if it's still hanging in the tree, and a dead animal touched it, okay? So somebody took a dead animal and picked up a dead nevela, dead animal, and or a dead person, and he touched the apple on the tree. It doesn't become tamei. Why? Because it's not an ochel yet. When does it become an ochel? When it reaches gemar, when it's complete. It has to be, number one, harvested, got to be plucked. Nobody eats a fruit while it's still attached to the tree. It has to be plucked. Says Ibn Ezra, it also has to be washed. Because mom said it's got to be washed. So therefore, the gemar peri into making an ochel is mayim. That's the logic, claims Ibn Ezra, about love of Hashem's right.
Okay,
so
how
do you learn the Lord's this has nothing to do with it. I'm just explaining to you, because the Ibn Ezra is a beautiful Ibn Ezra, to explain the rationale of the halakha of Hashem's right. It's got nothing, you can't get around the Lurasa. You can't get around the Lurasa issue.
And that's right, everyone has to see the Gemara Peri before you can use it, right?
Correct.
Maybe according to Ibn Ezra.
Yeah.
This Lo Yiko refers to a coin as well, and he's talking about the coin, the opinion of Machshira, even the coin shouldn't use it because he shouldn't use it until it's washed item.
That's interesting, but what you just said is what Rabbeinu Hananel said. Take a look at Rabbeinu Hananel on Lamed Sayin with Bay, Lamed Hayim with Bays, I believe he says that. It's the second to the wide line in the Rabbeinu Hananel. Not I think, he says it. Take a look at the Rabbeinu Hananel. Second to the wide line. The Chanomar, the Nesha Machshira. Kilomar, in other words, Mashvile Mana. That's a mana utensil. By doing what? By making it what? By watering it, you're making it into a utensil. And therefore, why should you not do so? Why should you not do so? Why should you not use it? Because you're going to be making a pre, making a utensil on Yom Kippur, like making a utensil. But still, you can't avoid the question that the only time it does become a utensil is if what? Is if it's on the rough. That Lurotso issue has yet to be addressed successfully by any Rishon. Yeah.
Why not say that it's got it? It's, it didn't have to
what?
When I say without the wash, forget the washing of the adapter. No, we have to wash it to wash down the bit of that rakhila. That rakhila can't be used.
Okay, that's what you're saying. That's in effect, that's what he's saying. Okay, so now you would be saying that there's a mom who tells you don't eat that food until you wash it off, that's now creating Israel. That's going to be next step. That's a big thing. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's what you were saying as well.
I'm saying it applies even to a coin.
Correct. And a phenomenon. But that would be one large step to claim that there is no heter achila because you failed to wash it off. The mother will say that. Our mother doesn't say that. Mother say, now I need it. Ooh, get germs. What?
Interesting.
Yeah. But he's not a halakhist. Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan didn't say makshir what lekabel toma. It's makshir it to become a kli. Yes. Correct. But due to the water. Due to the water. What? Maybe. Okay. But it's all related to the heksher. Well, why would anybody put water on it? Why would anybody put water on it?
It just happens in the
neighborhood. What? A couple of drops are going to drip off from the lulav? It's very difficult. It's very difficult. All right, we'll stop here. That's what the Gemara says. Nothing you can do about it. Very difficult. Next week, I have a wedding. Fox. There's no share next week. Fox wedding.